The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Roundtable. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Joining me today is Nate Comp. We're going to talk about Indiana's, I don't know how to describe it, wild, two-faced, 35-22 win over the Idaho Vandals in a first half that had everybody questioning the future of this program and where they go should they have lost. Indiana trailed 10-0 at half, then reeled off 29 straight points in the between the third and fourth quarters to come away with 35-22 win. Nate, what were your initial thoughts from yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was 100% the tale of two halves. I feel like in that first half, we might have seen the worst half in the Tom Allen era of just dumb mistakes, bad play in the red zone, just a completely different football team than what we had seen in Illinois. And then came out in the third quarter and arguably had one of the best quarters we've ever had in the Tom Allen era of rattling off 29 points and kind of making it look easy. So I am optimistic from, I guess, what I saw in the third quarter, but I can't just sit here and forget what I saw in the first half, because I know that is still possible. We could still see that team play in the further games this season.
Yeah, it was the first half was, I've been watching IU for about 20 years, probably the worst first half I've seen. That's not including like games in 2011 where they went up to Michigan State and got housed, but it was just like the worst. You started off with a penalty on Tim Weaver that kind of killed that drive. Shivers runs for 12 yards on second down, and it just stalled out the drive. You get a good punt, the defense holds, you get good field position to start the first two drives, and you come away with no points. Charles Campbell missed a field goal. Now, while it was super rainy, it wasn't that windy on the field last night.
Those are too close to be missed too.
Yeah, 28 yards and 32 yards. The second missed field goal got wiped out on a defensive holding, which is hard to do on a field goal attempt.
Yeah, it was not a holding. There was nothing there, but
yeah. So we'll take it. But ball don't lie, as Rasheed Wallace says.
Exactly.
It was Campbell was so good last year at the beginning of the year, went 7-for-7. I believe he ended the year like 6 of his last 11. So you kind of get concerned, is he going to be consistent enough? Because you need him to hit those field goals. If he hits one or both, it's a total different story in the first quarter. Sitting in the radio booth with Don and Rhett Lewis, you start talking about during commercial breaks the recipe of an upset. And yesterday we saw so many upsets in college football, including Washington State, who Idaho was going in for a game-tying touchdown in the last minute last week up at their place, knock off Wisconsin and Madison. But it was the defense played okay, but you gave up 10 points. And the offense couldn't get anything going, and you had chances to score early. You gave them a sense of confidence. That's a much better Idaho team than we saw last year.
Sure.
Their wide receivers are pretty good. That quarterback who's a freshman, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the transfer portal in the next year or two to hop up a level.
Yeah.
And things like that. He accounted for 3 touchdowns. IU, they just never got started on offense. Connor Basilak looked off, whether it was throwing a wet ball, which you got to prepare for. And Tom Allen said they did the wet ball drills, but he couldn't get it going. You had receivers drop balls. And then anytime you got a big run, you know, Josh Henderson fumbles right around midfield. You know, that takes a drive away. And then, you know, once we finally saw Jalen Lucas touch the ball on that kickoff, you get a good kick return and you're driving down right before the end of the first half. And if you put points on the board there, you know, you're feeling okay. Not great still, but you're feeling okay. You know, it was, we got points on the board, but Connor Bazelak overthrows his guy by several yards.
Yeah. And had Camper wide open.
Yeah. Wide open. And he had two other guys wide open on that play too. Yep. It's an interception. Idaho kneels it out and you have all the momentum and they get the ball back at halftime. But whatever Tom Allen said in the locker room and whatever adjustments they made worked.
I would have loved to be in that locker room.
I wonder if he finally dropped an F-bomb. I doubt it. But if you're going to do it, that's the time to do it. But
yeah, I saw they posted them singing the fight song at the end of the game of We Won, and it was just a very melancholy singing of it, I guess. So I was interested to see, like, okay, if that's what the post-game celebration looked like, what did the halftime locker room look like? Because it had to be very different than what we've seen from Tom Allen before.
Yeah, it was a muted celebration in the locker room. Allen came out in a press conference. It was almost like they lost the game, his attitude. Now, he had lost his voice earlier in the week, trying to get his team. You know, you're coming off a big emotional win against Illinois. You come into this game, the game gets delayed by 30 minutes. That might play a factor into adrenaline and getting the juices flowing and things like that. But, you know, it's a game that IU should win. They were favored by, I think, 24.5 points. So, you know, naturally there's going to be a letdown, but it shouldn't have been like that. And
no, when you're the better team, it can't be that big of a letdown. At some point you've got to have a bread and butter that you can go back to, or I don't know, something. We felt like the offense spent at least the entire first quarter in Idaho territory and still ended with no points, missed field goals, penalties.
I joked around with Rhett Lewis. We were doing starting field position, and there was an error on the stats. Said IU's starting field position was at the opponent's too, and we kind of looked at each other and laughed to go, you know what? It kind of feels that way.
Yeah, feels accurate.
It kind of felt that way. So, you know, but IU turned it on the second half and really got the run game going. I thought the offensive line played better. But Idaho's front didn't have a player over 260 pounds and things like that. But they opened the holes. Indiana didn't run the ball like this against Idaho last year.
No.
And the offense didn't look nearly as good as the second half offense last year in this game. But it was good to see Sean Shivers and Josh Henderson get going. It was great to see Jalen Lucas get the ball on the kick return and then B at the end of the game. And I love the fact that they put in all those young linemen like Vinny Fiacable, Bray Lynch, were all in on that, you know, game winning drive. Now they ended up kneeling it out. I wish they would have scored a touchdown. Idaho took those three timeouts when the game was over.
Yeah.
And things like that. You know, you punch it in, you go up 42-22. It looks a lot better. Plus, you get those guys, you know, time to celebrate in the end zone and things like that. But it was good to see that. And Connor Bazelak had a really good second half when, you know, we were all texting, do you bring Tuttle in? Do you run the option with Dexter Williams? Do you run the option with Donovan McCauley? We saw him in the red zone and at quarterback run it in on a draw. And I think that might be, you know, one of your red zone packages. We talked to him post game. He's every bit of 6'4". Like I'm 6'1". He makes me feel like a short dude. But you know, if you split him out wide, and then move him to quarterback, it's a matchup nightmare. We talked about this all post, you know, preseason, things like that. But the most important thing is IU comes out with a win. They start 2-0, and it's now you have a chance to go 3-0 against Western Kentucky, who, you know, a lot of the indie media has given them a pass Western Kentucky really struggled with Austin Peay in the opener, and then they went out to Hawaii and beat a terrible Hawaii team. So we'll see. It's been a that's a game that's been close in the past, and it's, you know, kind of a local, kind of a rivalry. But you know, that's a game IU again should be better than Western Kentucky, and should come away with the win there. Let's go to offensive defensive MVPs. Who was your offensive MVP yesterday, Nate?
I think I'm gonna have to go with Shivers. He did have the game winning touchdown against Illinois, so we saw that he kind of had a highlight there, but he definitely was not productive in that first game. But we had no run game at all. So I think switching over to this week, being able to assert our dominance in a run game, we out gained Idaho in rushing yards, but didn't in passing yards, which is odd compared to what we saw in week one. So I think just being able to establish that he's a bowling ball. Like he does not go down easily. He's going to lay hits just like Allen had talked about all off season. So I think it was good to get him established, show that, okay, we can have a little bit more of a balanced attack. We don't have to go to the air raid almost that we were seeing in week one. So I'm going to go with Shivers as my offensive MVP.
Yeah, I would go with that as well. I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go DJ Matthews, because once they started getting him involved in the passing game, and I'm sure Idaho, DJ Matthews burned them last year, and they know how good he is. Yep. I'm sure the game plan was to not let him beat him. Now, he didn't have, you know, 100 yards receiving, but he did have 3 receptions for 51 yards and a touchdown, and that I think he had that one-handed catch down by the goal line. I think
that very first reception he had, too, just the laying out, diving on that out route that we had. The offense at that point really hadn't shown much. So the fact that, I mean, we had a couple of runs before that, but passing game at least had not shown much. So kind of opening it up of, okay, Vasilak, you don't have to be perfectly accurate, but just throw a catchable ball. Let your guys go out and make some plays. And Matthews was able to do that. And it seemed like ever since that, the offense was like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah. It kind of settled them down. That catch. And then a few plays later, he had the one-handed catch that got him down inside the 5. I thought AJ Barner played pretty well as well. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to have the same defensive MVP. It's got to be Desaan McCullough.
Yep. It has to be.
It has to be. He was, I mean, he's still 18 years old, so you can't call him a man among boys, but
he looks like it. Like,
yes, he does.
He's a 5-star amongst 3 stars. So I don't know if we can say that.
Yeah. You know, he had 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 5 total tackles. And he was just he's just so incredibly fast, and they use him all over the field. You know, he's big enough to play defensive end. He's fast enough to play linebacker. I think I don't know what the position they call him. I heard Don and Red call it the wolf position, where he just go out there and make plays. And that's what he did. And there was one sack where he just grabbed the quarterback by the shirt collar and just dragged him down.
Yep.
And that's a play that, you know, that's what star power does. That's what you wish when Darius Latham came in, you know, you'd have plays like that. But man, he was unbelievable last night. Hopefully he did come off limping there at the end of the game. So hopefully it's nothing serious, but after he limped off the field, he never came back in, which the game was in hand at that point, and you don't want to push it.
Yeah. And they were talking about this on the broadcast last night, but we talked about how the athleticism, the talent really stands out, but something that like 18-year-olds don't typically have that I feel like he does is he is just so fundamental. Like there were multiple times where he could have over pursued, gotten out of his gap, gone, and like you said, just go make a play in that wolf position. He instinctively knows like, no, that this running back could cut back. And there were a couple times they did, and he was there. So it's just having that maturity, I guess, at 18 is just much different than what we've seen from anyone on this defense that young.
Yeah, and you know, some other guys that played well, Aaron Casey played well. Cam Jones had 7 tackles but didn't play late in the game, which is good. Rest Cam Jones as much as you can while you can.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially coming off an ankle injury that looked really bad against Illinois, and luckily he was playing. You know, you a penalty wiped out Tylan Mullins' interception, but he, while he doesn't fill up the stat sheet with tackles because they don't throw their way.
Yeah, they don't go towards him. Like
every time they threw his direction, he was all over that receiver.
Yep.
It was good to see young guys like Christopher Keys get in. You know, you got out of the game healthy, which I think is the biggest key outside of the win.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, I thought about that right as it ended, and I don't think we had anyone really go down. So
I don't think, yeah, there were on either side, I don't think there was any injury timeouts, which made it nice. It wasn't a 4-hour game like the Illinois game, but you know, you don't want to forget about the first half. And I think, you know, that's one where you say, thank goodness IU won. But now you could start quote, hey, if we're not prepared and we're not ready to go,
yeah, this is what we look like.
This is what happens.
Yep.
And they responded, which is good, because last year when this happened, they didn't respond. No, you end up, you know,
hang their heads.
Yeah. You know, especially I go back to the Purdue game where I think it was Jalen Williams had the pick 6 and it got wiped out for pass interference.
Yep.
And then the wheels fell off. And that kind of reminded me of the Tylan Mullen interception that got wiped out on I guess it was pass interference.
Just a weird call, but
yeah, it looked like an incidental contact. But if IU was on offense, we'd want that pass interference call as well.
Agreed.
But you know, that was a play last year where IU kind of, you said it, hangs their heads and says, "Uh-oh, here we go again." But instead of losing 44-7. IU came back and won 35-22. I thought outside of Charles Campbell, special teams played all right. James Evans.
Evans has looked a lot better. He was definitely shaky last year. Yes.
That one time, but the coverage units got to get down there and cover the punt. It was kind of a low line drive, but it went 52 yards. Needs more hang time. But he, two punts, two 52-yard punts.
And he had a case of the shanks a couple of times last year, and we haven't really seen that out of him this year. So that's been much improved.
And then kick return, you finally got Jalen Lucas the ball, which is great. And we'll go to Alex here, who's joining us.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
Well, good afternoon here in the Eastern time zone.
Hey, Central time zone supremacy. It's still morning here. So, I'll just, you know, I'm sure I'm going to repeat everything you guys already talked about. I think the biggest thing for me last night, one, second half good, first half atrocious. We'll flush the first half. And I think they came out pretty healthy, which is, you know, something we talked about all week. You know, they had to leave the starters in longer than we would have liked. That last touchdown drive for Idaho, there were, you know, I think we saw like Holt was in there. Chris Keys was in there.
Holt played a lot last night. He was in the first half too.
Yeah, that was very interesting. So good for him. I think the biggest key for me of what worked is they are healthy. So,
And they won.
And they won. And they won. 29 straight was good. Came out healthy. Desaad McCullough is a dude. I think that's confirmed. Sammy, I don't know if you know, that's got to be the first multi-sack game for a Hoosier in a while. I would even, like, maybe back to, like, Nick Mangieri, honestly. Like,
it's going to probably surprise you at who was the last one, but I'll bring it up here in a second.
Micah, probably. I don't know. I feel like it's been a while. But especially for a true freshman, pretty great game by him. not even just rushing the passer. He had, you know, he was kind of all over the place. So that was good. I thought Bayes looked way better in the second half.
It couldn't look worse in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some high throws in the first half. I think a lot of it was due to the rain. You know, I don't want to make excuses, but it was brutal. So especially just kind of rolling out there and running, you know, the normal playbook, it looked like. A lot of those timing and read throws were tough, especially in those conditions. So O-line was really good. I thought Zach Carpenter played a really, really good game at center. I thought Kadick looked pretty good. First couple drives, the O-line was tough. But again, I think a lot of it was, you know, the wet turf and just settling into the game. But second half, I thought the O-line was really good. So
last Hoosier with two plus sacks, Brian Fitzgerald and Micah McFadden at Maryland last year.
Wow. Interesting.
Would not have put Fitz in there, but
yeah, I'm worried about Fitz playing free safety territory, or strong safety, I guess. I don't know if he can cover on the back end to make me confident in the Big Ten. I think we'll find out a lot the next 2 weeks, but you can say the ball is uncatchable. That was like the comically worst throw I've ever seen on that trick play in the first half.
The ball went straight up in the air. We all thought it was tipped.
Yeah, the commentator said they were playing 500.
Yeah, just he had to get it over Cam Jones's arms. But I mean, underthrow or not, Fitz totally panicked and tackled the dude.
Incidental contact.
Yeah, but I mean, shouldn't be panicking. He was in perfect position, and so I don't know. So that was one thing. I'm still worried about that. I'm still worried about the tackling through 2 weeks. Again, I know last night it was tough. Guys were just bouncing off each other with the, you know, conditions, but a lot of missed tackles. Jalen Williams missed a bunch. I thought Monster looked okay. I'm still waiting on Monster to, you know, blow stuff up.
I'm not sure he's fully healthy.
It definitely doesn't look like it.
I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen the same Monster, and the only reason I can bring that up, is I guess he's not fully healthy. I don't know. That missed tackle at the very end that gave up the whatever 70 plus yard touchdown.
Yeah.
That was tough. And it was all on him.
A bad angle.
Yeah.
And then I think Watley Neely was the corner over there by himself. Yep. So he got blocked by the receiver. So
yeah.
That was a tough one. And I get, you know, Alan talked about it and I think we've talked about it, but their biggest emphasis of the fall, I would say, was get the offense rolling and then stay healthy. So I doubt the practices were very physical, if at all. So that's why obviously some rust with the tackling, because you don't want your guys tackling each other. But yeah, I don't know. So I'd say what I didn't like, tackling for sure. I thought the play calling in the first half was redacted word. It was, you know, I don't know. I thought they did not do a good job of trying to settle Bayes in the first half. You know, that drive on the goal line where they got stuffed, you know, that fade to McCulley is probably the worst throw. I think that was his worst throw of the night, even worse than his pick.
All you have to do, McCulley's like 6'5". All you have to do is throw it high.
Yeah, throw it to the back high. It looked like
into the back of the end zone. He threw a fade to like the front of the end zone, which
it looked like
he thought all you had to do was throw it like the Idaho running back that one time, and you're good.
Yeah. Just a moon ball. Yeah. I don't know. Bayes, that one, he looked like he thought it was a front pylon fade and McCulley thought it was a back pylon. I don't know. But that was his worst throw of the night. Second half, he was good. DJ Matthews, you know, nice to have him back. I mean, if there's any questions if he's, you know, a game changer or healthy, I think he's answered those through 2 weeks.
For sure.
You know, I'm almost getting to the point where he's too important to the offense, or I don't want him returning punts anymore.
Who do you put back there then? Jalen Lucas?
Fair catch it, like, honestly.
Ty Freifogel, fair catch?
Yeah, seriously. Like, I just – it's getting to that point again where he's, you know, the middle of the field and stretch the field guy, you know, where it makes me a little nervous. He had a diving catch on the sideline and a one-hander last night and then the touchdown. So, yeah, I don't, it's – he's almost to the most important player on offense status. So that was you know, another thing I like. Good to see A.J. Barner. Did they end up throwing a flag on that touchdown that Barner caught for too many men on the field or offsides? Because they thought it was a free play, so he kind of just lobbed it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they did call the offsides. I don't think they called the offsides.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one of the ends was, I think the end opposite Parker Hanna jumped. So they, I mean, they definitely thought they had a free play because he just like literally.
Yeah, we played it as a free play, but you're right. I'm not sure they actually called it as a free play.
Yeah. And then, you know, but it was good. We got to bust out the throw the ball to AJ Barner fan club t-shirt picture last night. So it was,
yeah, good. I saw a couple people asking for membership. So.
Yeah, they're going to be approved.
Okay.
They're going to be approved immediately for membership. I'm excited. Our next meeting is Saturday at noon. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, week two of this club, I think we're really going to find our footing. It's going to be outstanding, but yeah. yeah. So good to see Barner. What did they end up yards per carry wise?
I think it's seven.
6.6, I think.
Yeah, 6.6.
Yeah, I mean, that's
– And that, that includes
– Sack yards.
That it, well, IU didn't get sacked. That includes the kneel at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah, Basilex minus four.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it was good. I thought Josh Henderson looked nice. That was a nice, you know
– I thought the adjustments on offense, too. You struggled in the red zone, and this is something we haven't seen hadn't seen last year. You put Donovan McCulley in as a Wildcat quarterback, and you run a draw with him, which they did last year with him at late in the season. We've talked about this a ton. He's a guy in the red zone. He's 6'5". You can put him out at receiver.
Yeah,
people have to account for him to come play quarterback. You know, do you have to cover Connor Basilak in the passing game? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put someone down there. Like,
yep.
You can't just go catch it. Like,
yeah, especially if it's McCulley throwing. Like, it's not like, I don't know, a wide receiver or a running back throwing that you feel like you can make up the territory.
Yeah.
Like, so I really, that was encouraging because it showed that they're making adjustments. They're looking at the same stuff as we are.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about the psyche of this program, Alex. And Nate, at halftime, it was a nervous press box. Everybody was talking about you can't lose this game. You got 30 minutes to save your season. We had that in our text thread too. I got several tweets last night from people asking about Allen's buyout and all that stuff. And I'm kind of getting tired of the outrage. Like,
yeah,
I think it's misplaced. If you're going to be outraged, why are you outraged about LEO and not about a lack of funding for an indoor facility or the lack of NIL money and things like that? Or, you know, half this fan base, you know, you have a handful of fans who want IU to go down to the MAC because they think they'll win, which is not true, because if you go down to the MAC, you're not going to pull the talent out of Florida like they're doing now. And things like, I'm tired of blaming LEO for everything. And I'm tired of, it's Allen's fault. Look at the program. You have an indoor facility that is not exactly crumbling, but it's not something that, you know, you're putting on the front of the brochure for Indiana football.
Right.
And then you have NIL money is going to be a big deal. And there are no football specific NIL, you know, things. Hoosier for Good has done some good stuff, but it was for six players. I'm not saying that people need to, IU needs to, IU football needs to have a fan fest like basketball, and things like that. But can we get jerseys? Can we get, you know, you're looking at the campus ink deal. I have not seen anything outside of Noah Pierre. I have not seen any of those guys come up with stuff. And it's game, you're almost a quarter way through the season. So if you want to be outraged, be outraged about that. Don't be outraged about LEO, about cashless payments at the stadium, you know, and things like that. Be outraged that you don't have jerseys. You can't buy a Sean Shivers t-shirt. You can't buy a Desaun McCullough t-shirt. And, you know, your indoor facility looks like a hangar at the old LaGuardia Airport.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fine line, right? I think I want people to be mad. Misplaced, yes, I agree. But if people aren't mad, you know, the complacency is what's going to kill us. So
yeah, I'd rather them be mad than not care.
If people are like, oh, whatever, you know, same old, that's garbage. We don't need that. I mean, specifically like that Indiana NIL store, it drives me nuts because they've been tweeting, you know, how many players they've signed for the last 2 months. And they use the same tweet, like stay tuned for special, you know, whatever coming soon. Probably would have been a good time to start selling stuff, you know, when class starts and the season started for all the different teams. But, you know, what do I know?
Yeah.
Like Barstool Sports yesterday was tweeting when some of their athletes made touchdown or, you know, big plays or scored touchdowns, they were tweeting out their like funny shirts partnered with the players and literally said 80% of this shirt goes to the player. I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. We saw yesterday Fanatics has, you know, player name jerseys now for some of the bigger programs. I wasn't expecting us to be included in the, you know, first round of teams, but you know, if Penn State can sell their backup quarterback's jersey on Fanatics, I don't know.
You have home field and you have a lot of t-shirt companies. It's not just Fanatics and stuff like that. You just signed a new deal with Legends. It was such a no-brainer that NIL was coming. How do you not say, hey, when this starts, we're just doing jerseys. We're doing jerseys. Here's a blanket deal for the team and things like that.
I agree. But at the, you know, who's buying them? You know, like we all, you know,
I feel like it'd be a way to hook freshmen early of like, you just got on campus. You've got two night home games to start your like career at IU and you don't have anything to wear. So you go to Kirkwood and you just get what's at the varsity shop or whatever. You don't get that personalized stuff because it's not available.
You can't buy what's not for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a freshman, they had jerseys for basketball, like different numbers, like everybody's different numbers on there, but they didn't have the names on the back. But you knew that you were buying a DJ White t-shirt or an AJ Ratliff t-shirt.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it would be cool. Honestly, you know, the same people that are like, oh, you know, where's all the merch? Where's all the gear? Those are the people that aren't even going to buy it or go to the games anyway. So those are the people that just love to be insufferable on the internet, which is a great portion of the population. I mean, it's a lot of good action. So don't get me wrong. I love it. I'm probably one of them. But I don't know. I mean, I don't care. Indiana's 2-0. Indiana dominated second half last night. Indiana stayed healthy last night. I thought play calling on offense was good in the second half. Like we talked about, I think Walt Bell made the competent, necessary adjustments. I don't care that it was Idaho. We'd have made zero adjustments at any point during a game last season under Nick Sheridan. So through 2 weeks, I think Walt Bell's already shown, you know, I'm going to put some feelers out there early. I'm going to see what I'm getting from the defense, and then I'm going to adjust. So through 2 weeks, I thought, you know, you know, Walt Bell has done well. So I'm pleased with that so far. Defensively, I touched on it, and you know, I'm sure you guys touched on it at the beginning too. The tackling, just real bad. Definitely got to clean that up. And then O-line, I thought for the most part was good. No sacks, close to 7 yards a carry. Shivers and Henderson got going in the second half.
Yeah, the offense wasn't working in the first half, not because the offensive line couldn't block. It was because, you know, you had you had Josh Henderson fumbled near midfield. I mean, they did have a legal procedure or false start penalty on that first drive, which kind of wiped it out. And then you had the interception down at the 3 and a missed field goal. And then, you know, you wish you could stuff it in from the 1, but maybe you have to go with Donovan McCauley, a quarterback, you know, inside the 5.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, though, that's what I like. They did it the next time they had the chance, you know, Walt Bell said, let me plug in my, you know, creative player NCAA guy at quarterback here and punch it in. And the other thing I liked about that specific play, leaving Bazelak in allows you to not sub and then put him at quarterback the next, you know. So if you're like, oh, let's actually run a play with Baze at quarterback again, you don't have to sub. Defense can't sub.
Yep.
I'm in favor of the, you know, the crossing guard quarterback just standing out on the hashes in that kind of a play, just standing there.
Just don't do a Mark Sanchez and get scared if the defensive back flinches.
I mean, yeah, you gotta. Yeah, I mean that's a classic though. That's definitely a classic. But yeah, you know, before we wrap up here, Sammy, what was your? Give me one good, one bad, all 3 phases of the ball. What did you like and not like?
So one bad, one good on. All three. Bad on special teams is Charles Campbell. I'm officially concerned about him. You know, he started the year last year 7 for 7. I think he finished 6 of 11. He finished the year going 6 for 11. Can he recover? He technically missed 2 field goals last night that were within 35 yards. Whatever on the defensive holding. The good on special teams was I'm going to give James Evans credit and Jalen Lucas. They put him in because they needed a spark. And he
immediately gave it.
Immediately gave it, and then we threw the ball away. On offense, the good was the second half. They scored. I think they had 5 straight touchdown possessions, and then they ran out the clock. That's what you want to do against an inferior opponent. They ran the ball well. They sprinkled the ball around in the passing game. The bad was that first half. You cannot have a first half like that the rest of the way because you're going to lose. You can't rely on this defense to do everything for you because it's going to end up like last year where they're just gassed, especially running, you know, running tempo and going 3 and out and having your defense in the field 35, 40 minutes a game, which if you're scoring touchdowns at a clip of, you know, 5 per half, whatever. The offense 30 second 3 and outs was, though. You gotta settle guys in and get it going. You don't need the 80 yard touchdown pass on the first play. Like you said, Alex, get, you know, run AJ Barner out there, do a 5-yard comeback, and just have him sit there and box people out and toss them. Just play pitch and catch. Because if you could get 4 or 5 yards on first down, you're in business.
Yeah, completely opens the playbook. You got 2nd and 3rd and manageable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Defense, the bad tackling and takeaways. I thought tackling, some of it's due to the weather. Because those jerseys get slick when they get wet. But it was a concern in the first game as well. That needs to be cleaned up, especially against Western Kentucky, who's going to make you pay if you miss tackles. And then you got to take the ball away. I think they had – I'll count the safety as a takeaway, I guess. But you wiped out an interception on a bad play by Brian Fitzgerald. and things like that. But outside of that, it was a lot like last year where there weren't very many opportunities to take the ball away. So that's my negative on that. The good on defense, Deshaun McCullough, man. Like you said, he's a dude. He's a dude among boys. So he was outstanding. Just hope he's healthy the rest of the way.
Yep.
And he's only going to get better.
Yeah. Nate, what about you?
I feel like I'd mostly be repeating myself. One name we haven't brought up of, I feel like J.H. Tevis has played solid these first two games.
Yeah.
Hasn't really gotten a lot of shine for it, but like, I wanted to bring him up at the end here just because he's looked solid, and we haven't really had incredible like D tackles in the past. So just him being in there, he's clogged the game, like clogged the running lanes. He's looked pretty solid. So just wanted to, you know, a last minute shout out to him.
Yeah, I'll definitely, I think James Evans, also Sammy, you talked about it as we wrap up here, definitely looking more comfortable. Couple great punts in the rain last night. Honestly, the one, I think it was in the second half, like honestly outkicked the coverage.
Yeah.
Like kicked it past the gunners, which is tough to do with some
Well, it was a low line drive. It was a missile.
Yeah.
It was just a low line drive. In a perfect world, you'd like to get that up a little bit higher, but he's consistently striking the ball well, which, as Nate and Nate said earlier, did not happen last year.
Yeah. All right. And then as we wrap up here, Indiana football after the dust settles here, 2-0, underwhelming first half, strong second half, got the win against Idaho last night, 2-0, pretty healthy. Page flips to Western Kentucky now. Western Kentucky definitely took a step back from last year, but you know, it's the first noon kick. It's a step up from Idaho. If you play like you did in the first half against Western Kentucky, you're probably in more trouble than you were last night. But quick thoughts from either one of you on the Hilltoppers as we have, you know, we'll have a ton of stuff this week, but dust is settled and I'm sure the team and the staff is already on to Western Kentucky on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, as we know from Western Kentucky, they're going to throw it around. Zappy's gone, so that's a little bit of a change for him. But they're still going to go with the same game plan. They're going to air it out all night long, or I guess all afternoon long. So our corners, our safeties are going to be tested all day. Hopefully we look good.
Yeah.
Tackling and then being efficient on offense. You cannot leave points on the field. If you have to kick field goals, but you need touchdowns. It can't be like the game last year where Charles Campbell's kicking five field goals and you're winning by whatever, two points.
Yeah.
And then you got to tackle these guys because they could run. A lot of these receivers could run. That offense is going to, like Nate said, air it out and try and get their guys in space. And you're going to have, IU's going to have to tackle much better in space. Hopefully there isn't a lightning delay and a torrential downpour next week, but the game is in Indiana and you know what they say about Indiana weather.
Yep. All right. Sammy, Nate, thanks for having me on here for the back half of it. I appreciate everybody for watching and listening. And then again, we'll have, you know, all the rest of the recap from the Idaho game last night on HoosierHuddle.com. And then we'll be sure to have, you know, our normal roundtable previews and everything you'll need to get set for Indiana's Saturday kickoff noon against Western Kentucky, looking to go 3-0, which would be, you know, a huge start after going 2-10 a year ago. So Sammy, for myself, thanks so much for having me on, and thanks everybody for watching and listening.
Yep. Thanks, Dave, for joining as well.
Yeah, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube, do that.
Please do.
Great call.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.